is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, I've survived 4 days.
You've survived.
4 days with my new rescue
dog.
Greyhound puppy.
Yeah. It's not a puppy. It's huge. Its legs are about 9 foot long.
It's very, I call her Luby Lou. Do you remember Luby Lou?
Yeah, I do. I need a word with you as well.
What about greyhounds?
Yeah. No, about what you call her. You forgot your dog's name.
Darcy.
Yeah, but in a tweet last night, you called her Cassie.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
The one, when you got excited about her stealing the chicken, see, she doesn't know because you said it was Cassie that stole the chicken.
No. Cassie would never have...
Well, she certainly wouldn't now, no.
She was a very good dog, Cassie. Yeah. Although my son, Shay, who...
He stole a chicken, did he?
Probably, but he's 25. But he reminded me that when we... Because we've always rescued hounds. Hmm. And he reminded me that when we first rescued Cassie from the Dogs Trust, she was quite naughty. She was very aggressive on the lead.
Well, the greyhounds...
What?
The
no,
greyhounds.
Cassie wasn't a greyhound. You've seen Cassie. She was sort of a cross between an earwig and a bit of twitch.
But she looked like a cross between a lurcher and a greyhound to me.
She was whippety, but quite a fat one, wasn't she?
Fat whippet.
Fat whippet. Like your fat Mexican
squirrel. That's a pub in Sheffield, isn't it? The fat whippet.
Hey up.
Hey up. Timmy Taylor's.
I'm going off to fat whippet
in my clogs.
Stereotype, me. Yeah. But anyway, so we were having this lovely family barbecue. The new husband got his birthday present out, which was the big green egg, which is fabulous. You must come round and try it. It's
really, really good.
So, of course, new husband's not used to a leggy greyhound. He's used to Cassie, who was 14 and used to just lie down and was very well behaved. And so he nipped upstairs. We've got upside down houses, you know. Left the chicken on the garden table, which is quite a high table. And it was all, you know, marinated, had all its garlic on it and herbs and everything. Rubbed it all in, put the onions inside, blah-de-blah. And a big green egg was steaming away, ready. And he whipped upstairs. And then I said, you know, I was upstairs. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, he was looking a bit vague. And he said, I'm a bit worried about the chicken. I said, why? He said, oh, I've left it, you know, and the dog's down there. I said, what? And we went down and she'd got the whole, this is an 18-month-old, very leggy greyhound. She'd whipped the whole chicken off the table and was lying under the pine tree chewing this Riverford Organic. I mean, they are not cheap, I'm telling you. And she is a very, very gentle dog. But, of course, we don't know her. She's a failed racing greyhound. She's lived in kennels. And she was also abandoned after 5 months by a family that adopted her. So we don't know her. So I went to get the chicken off her because I'd seen the husband from my kitchen window screaming and sort of dancing about with a, like a lasso trying to get her on. And he was obviously in a pickle. So I went downstairs in a huff. And so, for God's sake, you know, get it off her. And she bared her teeth and she was like a wild, like something you'd see on Richard Attenborough. It was like a wild bear. So what could I do? I couldn't let her crunch this whole chicken because it was carcass and not good for a dog. I had to hose her. And I felt awful because greyhounds don't like water. So I said, right, I've got to get the hose. Husband was very impressed because he's not the most practical. He's very academic. So I got the hose and I hosed it and she dropped the chicken and ran inside, you know. And we disposed of the chicken. I said we should have eaten it, really.
I was going to say, couldn't you cut some bits off it? I
could have washed it or something.
You had the hose out. You might as well have given it a wash down, didn't you?
Kind of put us off, really. And so we got some salmon out the freezer. But she is a lovely dog. But when you rescue a dog, you need – it's a real learning curve because they've got history and it's not like getting a puppy. But day four, she's getting better. But I don't think she'll ever be able to be left with food. She also stole a whole tub of olives the day before off the table.
She's got no taste at all, your dog, has she?
Very, very exotic, isn't it, really, for a dog?
Yeah.
Lovely Darcy. And we do love her. And we've got her in her bed now because she was sort of going on my bed. I don't really like dogs on my bed. Mm. I know some people don't mind it. I don't like it. So I do like my sort of French linen bed. I've got all lovely French linen on it.
Right.
I do like clean sheets every week.
Good.
Yeah, every Monday.
Good.
I'm a 50s housewife, really.
You are, really, aren't you?
Who might our sponsor be?
This week, the Business Bunker Radio Show is pleased to partner with the Tenterton District Chamber of Commerce. Lovely. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the areas covered by Tenterton and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rolvenden, Sandhurst, Marden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittersham and Woodchurch. The Tenterton District Chamber of Commerce exists to promote the sustainable economic development of the area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. You can find out all about the Chamber by going to their website, which is www.tentertonchamber.org. And a huge thank you to them for sponsoring this week's show.
And, of course, they have KC Canine, don't they, old
they
Terry?
Do. Yeah.
And KC Canine has been showing my Darcy what a proper, well-behaved greyhound can do.
Exactly.
Can go to wine tasting, apparently, in pubs and all sorts.
Wow.
But okay. My dog won't go outside the front door.
She's, well, not yet. I mean, it's early days, yeah.
She's frightened. Perhaps you come around and train her.
Right. Okay, what you got?
Well,
there's quite a few tweets.
Yeah, I'll start off with an email just to annoy you.
Oh, go on then.
Canterbury Christchurch University is hosting a free virtual half-day conference.
That's tomorrow, isn't it? Manana.
Manana, yeah. How do you know?
I just know everything.
Are you chairing it?
No.
Makes a change. Canterbury, there's probably no lunch, that's why. Mm-hmm. Canterbury Christchurch is, alongside the key partners across a range of industries and sectors, will be hosting a free virtual half-day conference, which is aimed at SME businesses, providing them with the opportunity to access info on support, funding and skills to develop their innovation potential. And the conference will be a virtual event, manana on 13th of October between 9:15 and 3:30 p.m. And they say you can find out more and register by going to www.canterbury.ac.uk/business/grid-conference. And you'll find it there and probably on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
There is a link. If you go to, it's actually listed under the FSB events. So if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, you'll find it there. I've had a tweet from Chips and Dinks. They say, what a great lineup on the show today, as always, on the Business Bunker. Great support, small businesses. There's lots of hashtags in this. Radio, Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin. Thankful it's Tuesday. Looking forward to listening to your fantastic guests. So thank you for that. That's Bev and Tony, Chips and Dinks. Give them a follow on the Twitter. Chips and Dinks is their Twitter handle. We've also had a tweet from Paragon Drones. They say, we would love a shout out on the Business Bunker Show, please, Paul. So consider yourself shouted out, Paragon Drones.
And, of course, the lovely Tazy on the Twitter, Tracy Ferguson, is listening in live today. And
Hi, Tracy.
She's designing her own thank you cards to her eBay shoppers, I think it was. I just read it very briefly. And you can find her on at Tazy with a Z, 64. And she is amazing. She is part of the Prince's Trust mentoring groups. And she says, the time to do what you love is now. You can find her on pluckysworld.com. That's P-L-U-C-K-Y-S world.com. And she is supporting self-awareness and personal growth. So find her on there at Tazy64.
Fantastic. Thank you. It's the final reminder for the Marsh Network online this Wednesday. That's tomorrow, manana. It will be 10:30 a.m. the 13th of October. Join us for a travel and holiday special with our speaker Steve Gosling from Travel Counsellors, who will update us on the current position on international travel and holidays. He'll also have an extra time for your travel questions. Join businesses and charities from across Kent and East Sussex and beyond for professional, relaxed online networking, and tell us about yourself and your business, what you do and the kind of contacts you're looking for. Give and receive support. There are no membership joining fees, and there are no fees for taking part, and there are no restrictions on attendance. If you want to find out more, go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk.
And we've had a lovely tweet from a delicious Jessica Deakin and IFF Kitchen. And they say, oh, yes, please, using the BBunker hashtag. We're cooking up delicious meal prep today in sunny Manston, ready to deliver throughout the UK. And that's Jessica Deakin. You can find her J-E-S-S-I-C-A with an underscore D-E-A-K-I-N. And team, there's a lovely picture there of her slurping some pasta in a very fetching red top. And hello, Collector's Buddy. So he says he's listening live as his son is home from school awaiting COVID test results. So it's going to be difficult, isn't it, going through winter with these. COVID test reports. But hello to you. You may get up in the loft for a little bit of, you know, whatever. Mm. But you can find us, you can find him on collectorsbuddy.org.uk.
Yep, give Martin a follow. I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent, and she says, I'd love, with a beating heart, a shout out on the Business Bunker show. I love helping others. Ever thought about becoming a carer? If you say yes, then you could be the one we're looking for. We're looking for carers. Give us a call today on Ashford 01233 619 530. That's Ashford 01233 619 530. We look forward to hearing from you. So thank you for that, Kim. And if you ever considered wanting to work in a career in caring in the Ashford Folkestone area, then get in touch with Care in Kent.
Well, don't you need some of that with for your mother?
Yeah, I will do. I have been in touch with them, actually.
I would like to say, there's another one here. Hang on, I need to look at it. There's a new bowling alley bowling you over. It's been given approval to open in a former tourist attraction, which is dedicated to the world of Charles Dickens. And this is near Tasey, actually, Tracy Ferguson. It's the old Dickens World venue at the Chatham Dockside to be converted. Mm-hmm. So that sounds interesting. So why have they got rid of Dickens World? Does Tracy know?
I don't think it was very popular.
I never went. Did you ever go?
I actually have been there. I chaired an event there a while back.
Okay.
It isn't what you think it was. Really, it was kind of like just an event venue.
Okay, so it didn't go through the history of Charles Dickens and didn't have characters.
Not really, no.
Because I was thinking it would have, you know, Mr. Bumblewick or whatever it was, Pip, you know, all that lot coming in, and that would have been good, wouldn't it? If they'd have had sort of, you know, a bit like Madame Tussauds, or you know, with real actors going through and going, "Oh, Mr. Bumblewick." What have you
mean like Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney? Okay.
Something like, I haven't been to Disney.
Have you not?
No.
Have you never been Pirates of the Caribbean?
No.
Good grief. Where have you been for the last 50 years?
I'm not sure I'm the Disney type, really. Yeah. I do love a pirate, as you know.
Yeah, well, exactly. Exactly.
Where would I see it? In Florida, is it?
Well, any of the Disney worlds, they're all the same.
Well, yeah, I'm not allowed in France anymore.
No. The best one to go to is Florida.
You loved it, didn't you? I saw a picture of you with a rabbit and Donald Duck and all that.
No, I personally met the real Tigger.
Are you five?
Yeah. And I've got a photograph of me and Tigger together, mate.
That's right, I remember that, and Tigger.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing about Tiggers are wonderful things.
Yeah, yeah.
Bouncy, 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 bouncy. Fun.
That's him.
We've actually, one of our guests is quite Tiggerish today, look.
It's more leopard, isn't it?
Yeah, Tash. Yeah, but, you know, it's on the Tigger spectrum, isn't it?
No, Tiggers are striped, isn't it? That's a leopard skin.
It's on the sort of animal cat spectrum.
It's on the cat spectrum, yeah.
Don't talk about cats when you've got a greyhound. Oh, no. Mm. She's already massacred at my sheepskin rugs. My Cassie used to love my sheepskin rugs. This Darcy thinks, of course, they're, you know, something to eat, apart from a chicken.
Yeah, you're going to have trouble there, I think, aren't you?
Borrow her?
I want to tell you about this as well. The lovely Tabitha Beasley, at the marketing assistant, she says 6 years in business, 53 clients, 8 speaking slots, 6 radio interviews, 2 business awards, 1 global pandemic, and 2 children later, my company, the marketing assistant, is rebranding and reinvigorating, introducing the bright, bold and creative TMA. So give Tabitha a follow on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Tabitha Is TMA, Tabitha ISTMA. Follow her on Twitter, see how she's rebranded her business and check that out. But massive congratulations. We remember when Tabitha launched her business 6 years ago. And she came to tell us about it on the Bunker Show. So a fantastic achievement being in business for 6 years, especially for all the things we've gone through. And as she says, she's grown her family as well during that time too. So great. And we on the Bunker website, we have a whole blog site. And Tabitha is a great one for providing very interesting blogs for our blog site.
We have County Square Shopping Centre in Ashford. Is on the market if you fancy buying a shopping centre for £13.5 million.
Not a good investment these days, is it?
No, it's not. But how interesting. So I wonder what they'll do with it. Will they just turn it into houses, do you think?
It would be very difficult to turn that into houses from where it is.
Centre.
It's right in the centre of Ashford. And how horrible do you want me to be?
I want you to be horrible. Yeah.
It's never been that popular, yeah, because the shopping centre is fine, but the plan for it originally was to make it part of a kind of town centre display. But once you come out, opposite it, it's just a lot of derelict land. So it's not particularly pretty.
Yeah.
And McNaid's were due to open opposite it as well.
Yeah. Sorry, our guest is dying in the corner.
Yeah. Poor thing.
It's not cold. She has a very bad cold. Poor thing. Yeah. I'll throw her a ginger root in a minute.
You know, one of the problems is that a lot of local authorities, not just Ashford, a few years ago went mad with building shopping centres.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was never a clever idea in the first place. And with retail the way it is now, it certainly isn't a clever idea. And in a place like Ashford, where you've got one of the biggest retail parks in the southeast at the outlet centre on the outskirts of Ashford, you're never really going to get very far. And, of course, the problem for the shopping mall in Ashford is its flagship store was Debenhams.
Oh, okay. I always thought Debenhams in Canterbury, anyway, was very, very tired. They had a revamp, but it still was tired. You know, there's nothing sexy about it.
But the whole concept of department stores has really been removed, hasn't it?
But the thing is that, you know, I think as a woman, and the girls here will come in, Tash and Seren. Seren? Do I say Serene? Seren. Like Serenity. But, you know, a department store for me, why would I go in there? I would go in to perhaps talk to the makeup person, you know, maybe Bare Minerals.
Well, that's why I go in.
Yeah, exactly. You need a bit of polyfiller.
I'm looking for a shade of lipstick that goes with my hair.
But I do think, seriously, that, you know, if you want a good BB cream or a good blusher, it's about...
A good what cream?
BB cream or a CC
cream. What's BB cream?
BB cream or CC. You need to get out more, Paul Andrews. And a blusher, like, you know, I like bronze, personally. I quite like a bronze look. But today I've got Bare Minerals thing on, which is a BB cream. I've got a primer under that. And then I've got a little bit of blusher.
A free coats and some scaffolding.
And a top coat.
Yeah.
And then I don't wear much makeup nowadays, but I've got a little bit of green.
Have you thought about having some pebble dashing done?
Yeah. Well, no, that's a bit old-fashioned. It's a bit 60s, isn't it?
But, and a glitter.
I like my green. I'm trying very desperately here to talk to you. I like my green, which is a Barry M.
Yeah.
And, you know, thing about online is it's not the same, is it?
No.
If you go into, say, Fenwick's in Canterbury or wherever you guys live, I don't know, or a department store, then you can say, oh, you try it on your hand, don't you? So I think things like makeup and sunglasses, another thing, I don't want to buy sunglasses online. And I went into Canterbury recently, Topshop's closed. I used to be the queen of Topshop sunglasses because they're not that expensive and you can scratch them, you can leave them, you can forget them in a pub, whatever. You know, whereas my expensive ones, I barely take out because if I lost them, I'd be upset. So I think sunglasses is something you want to try on.
Well, same with the makeup now. They've got everything where you pick your shade online.
But it's not the same.
Put it on you, but you've got no way of actually knowing whether that's going to be right when it turns out.
Exactly. So. Like, you know, you can put a BB cream on, which will look fine, but often I'll go out and look at it in the light, in the actual daylight.
But surely, I get that. And there's always, you know, I tried to do an internet-based tattoo parlour, but that didn't work.
But even trying on a pair of jeans.
Yeah, no, hold on. Before you go off on one of your rants, and we have got an interview to do.
Yeah, are you champing at the bit, Paul?
I am, but one of the things here is I totally get what you're saying about makeup and things like that and about wanting professional advice and to try things.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need a department store to do that.
What do you need?
A makeup shop.
Yeah, a makeup shop. But the thing about a department store is that you can try your makeup on, then you can go up and try a pair of jeans, have a browse in the, you know, the garden centre down below.
It just doesn't work.
I think it depends on the department store.
It doesn't work.
I think Debenhams didn't work. It was tired. But I think, you know, a funky department store where there's a coffee shop, you can meet a friend for wine, put a bit of lipstick on. Come on, girls, shout them down.
The direction of travel at the moment just tends to be turning these things into concession stands.
Yeah, I get that.
So the store isn't a Debenhams or a Fenwick's or a Cheeseman's or whatever. It's owned by a property company who just let out concession stands.
Yeah, I get that.
So you get a bit of the of both worlds. The trouble with that
but
is...
But isn't that what a department store is?
Well, it is, effectively, yeah, but
you know, there's all different brands.
It is, effectively, but in the past, these big department stores traded under their brand identity, you know, like Army and Navy or Debenhams or Reisman's or... What?
My mother used to go to
CNA.
Romford. That was a big thing. She'd get the train from Chelmsford.
I know, a joke about that.
And I was about probably eight, and she'd go with her best friend, my Auntie Anne, and they'd go to CNA for the day, and they'd have a coffee, and they'd come back, and they'd bring me and my cousin Linda. We'd both have matching twin sets they bought us from CNA. It was like that was like a real thing. I think you're too young to remember that, but... Tash.
CNA, definitely.
Yeah.
My nan, that would have been a nan favourite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. CNA still have a massive presence in Germany.
Do they?
Mm. Right, anyway, listen. Enough.
Is it time?
Well, it was time 10 minutes ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know, we're slovenly on the bunker.
I've got
sometimes.
Some cheesy tunage here.
Oh, yeah.
In line with our next guest.
You know, it makes me feel like having a little biscuit with some cheddar.
Yeah, no, but...
Aged cheddar.
Yeah, but bearing in mind that you're the only one that knows who our next guest is, and what they do.
Is this Steve Parks?
It is Steve Park of Overwrought. And what does Steve do?
Well, I advise you all to look, overwrought.co.uk. I met this lovely man in Rutland.
You don't have to do a whole bloody spiel about it.
In a pub. And he's a real artist. He makes, he makes staircases.
Staircases, thank you. That's all I was after.
It's a stairway to heaven.
Well, I was going to play Stairway to Heaven, but it's nearly 9 minutes long. And knowing you, we would have finished.
You faded it out.
Yeah, no, so
I'll have to teach you how to use the fade button.
So I've picked this.
It sounds very ethereal.
It's Men at Work.
Don't tell me. I've got to wait for them to sing. I mean, it could be anybody at the moment. It could be you too. Sounds very you too-ish, doesn't it, that intro?
But it's still Men at Work.
Do they ever sing?
Yeah.
Men at Work. I know this.
Upstairs in my house.
Oh,
do you see what I did there?
Yeah.
South Pacific hot sea pool, Coney Island amusement school for misspent youth. It's all in my own front yard, seagulls grazing in the park and foreshore. Southeast wind fins back my ears, Luna park lights up the years of fame.
And I'm here for the Business Bunker with the fabulous Steve Park, who's the owner of Overall Bespoke Metal Staircases. Now, I met him, listener. I was on a lovely pub on a village green. You can picture this, a village green with a little pond and ducks and people walking gorgeous dogs. And it was all peaceful and green and quiet in Rutland. I think I was in Rutland because, as you know, it was a very, very small county. And I'm sure Steve will tell us the counties that it abuts, because it adjoins a couple. And I did travel and eat lots. But it was a great time. And I met Steve and we got chatting, as you do. We had two lovely dogs and Julie, his partner, was there. And then I was just fascinated by his business. So he's the owner of Overwrought Bespoke Metal Staircases. You can find them on overwrought.co.uk. And, of course, he's on Instagram at overwrought_limited. And he's also on Facebook. We're persuading him to get on Twitter. But as always, listener, if you want to tweet us, please tweet me or VanillaWeb at VanillaWeb. Use the BBunker hashtag and we'll hear you. And we'd love to know how you're all doing. So, hello, Steve.
Hello, Jules.
It's lovely to meet you. And I must describe to the listener, you've got a lovely rural background there with leafy trees and gorgeous things. And are you based in Rutland yourself?
Yes, Uppingham. So Uppingham's part of Rutland. Rutland's the smallest county in Britain, as far as I know. Yeah.
And it adjoins a couple of others, doesn't it?
Well, it's kind of on the border of Lincolnshire, which is kind of Stamford. So yeah. Stamford's 10 minutes from here. And then you've got the other side, which is the other side of, say, Belton, which is, again, about 5 minutes from here. That's Leicestershire. Mm. And then just to confuse things, the other side of our village, Barrowden, goes into Northampton when you go over a bridge. So we're kind of right in the middle, right on the edge of Lincolnshire, Leicestershire and Northamptonshire.
Of course, VanillaWeb will tell me off now because it is a business show, but you know that I do the Scoff and Quaff food show. And, of course, the food we had, and you mentioned Stamford, amazing butcher there.
Yes.
And was that where I stayed at the Crown? Was it not the Crown? The Castle? What was the pub I stayed at? Was it the Castle?
No, I think you were going to change it to the George, which is fabulous.
Didn't go to the George.
We stayed. You didn't go to the George.
No, we stayed there, and I can't remember what it was called now. Was it called the Crown?
The Crown Hotel?
Yeah, the Crown. Yeah. And it was excellent. Room number 11. The food was fab. And I love what they've done with the garden there because of COVID, they've made little rooms. And
yes.
You feel quite as if you're in your own garden. Staff were great. I'd say a big hello to Tony on reception and Sugar, who was on our breakfast on the first day. It was great. I couldn't fault it. And of course, we brought back lots of the Melton Mowbray pork pies.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I'm wearing them today around the
hill. Yeah. Very fattening.
So let's talk about you. I'm intrigued to how you got into making metal staircases in Rutland. So how did you, were you into metal working at school or did it just happen after?
I was good at art at school and I was good at design, I guess. But I went into a family business, which is called Lester Ought Iron, which is my brother Richard is at the helm of that now. And I left in about 1988. And he's 10 years younger than me. So he was looking for a job and he suited the business. And I was growing tired of the kind of business we did. It was still ironwork, which is, it's very similar to what I'm doing now, but it's more industrious. It's more kind of gates and railings. And I wanted to get more into something a little bit arty, a bit more challenging, like staircases and furniture and, you know, sculptures and things like that.
Okay.
So I came out of it and just bumped along, just trying to get a name for myself and then eventually moved out to Rutland. 4 years ago, I bought this factory in Uppingham. It's been very good since then, really. It's just been up and down. Look,
I'd love to have a factory. How many people do you employ in the factory?
Oh, just one. just one. It's so nearly all me.
You.
Yes, yes, okay. Yeah.
So are you then physically, I know nothing about this, so excuse me if I'm ridiculous question, are you physically sort of melting these wrought iron things, or how do you make them?
It's a bit of both. It's technique. It's all technique. So you don't need to have the fire going all the time. You can, you know, bend things and cut things and weld things. You know, it's not all blacksmithing. That's very, very time consuming. But a lot of it is. It's about 25% blacksmithing and 75% technique, I guess.
And who are your core clients?
Well, that's a good question, because things have changed a little bit since COVID.
I've seen some really sweeping, beautiful staircases that look like Millionaire's Row. And I've seen also that you do some security and possibly fire escape sort of staircases.
Not so much fire escapes, because, again, that's a lot of steps and hanging off a building and all that sort of thing. I like to do more inside work.
Don't get wet then.
Yeah, overall, it's pretty much 80% in indoor work, generally staircases.
Okay.
So you'd have a typical client of mine might be in North London and say, look, I've just got a fairly plain wooden staircase with wooden spindles, and I want a wow factor. You know, I want you know, to walk in the house and smile at what I see, and that's exactly where I fit in. Perfect.
I'm thinking Gone with the Wind and Scarlett O'Hara with that sort of sweeping staircase.
Yeah.
And whether you can make an entrance as you come down in your ball gown, Steve.
Yes, that's the one.
And
yeah.
You, I know that when we were nattering that you used to work a lot in London, and then you made this business decision to come away from London and work more locally?
Locally, to Uppingham, yeah. And Stamford and Oakham and places around here, and that's been good. My battery's running down. You wouldn't believe it, would you? It seems to be more. Let me plug myself in. Since I made that decision,
I mean, have you got enough business locally? Who are all these? Because, you know, Rutland is it's a country area. I don't see it as lots of people with pots of money, but maybe it is quite
it's very affluent round here.
Is it?
It was a COVID thing, really. People weren't travelling. It was difficult to move around. So I thought, well, I'll focus my business more locally, because I've never been local particularly. Yeah. Nearly all my business was in North London, and that was great. But I spent a lot of time travelling, you know, because most jobs are too fit hit. So, you know, you go there to meet the client, and then you'd make the job and do a first fit, and then there might be a balcony or connections to do. So you're back in London again. Mm. So I've saved an awful lot of time sitting in my van and traffic jams, but equally it's just not so challenging not doing so many staircases. So the answer to that is I might go back to London.
But it's a work-life balance thing, isn't it? And
yes,
you know, like I had to go to London on Wednesday, and you know, we live in Whitstable, as you know, and we had to allow, it should take an hour, you know, hour and 15 minutes, we allowed 3.5 hours in case, because you have to know if there's a load of protesters lying in the Blackwall Tunnel, or if there's a queue for petrol or whatever.
Exactly that. It's a real problem.
It is. So I love that, you know, you're getting this better quality of life almost, and you're,
much better.
Enjoying it and having time. So what's the SME, the Small Medium Enterprise Network, like in around where you are? Have you got sort of a network of other small businesses or larger businesses?
Where I am in Station Road in Uppingham is amazing, because there's so many businesses down here that people don't know about. They tend to kind of hang around the top of the industrial estate. It's very pretty. It's very scenic around here, because at the back of the units you've got sheep and cows and fields. The front you've got fields. And the further you go into the estate, the more interesting things. There's a Porsche garage 2 doors away from me. There's I think, green space or something next to me that do outdoor buildings. Scaffolders is my immediate neighbour. And then you've got all sorts of people into printing and so many businesses. But people tend to not go far enough down because I'm kind of third from the end.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But it's kind of better the further you come into it rather than people think the road doesn't go so far, you know?
Yeah. So if somebody's looking at having, for example, a bespoke metal staircase, yeah, they presumably look at your website, which is great. There's some really good visuals on there, and there's some video testimonials, lots of updates. I love that.
Yeah.
You give a free 30-minute consultation, which is by telephone.
Yes.
And then you go on. So what would be the lead time for getting a fairly sort of standard one, perhaps?
It's normally within a month to 6 weeks. But what I like people to do, it's so simple if people do this, they find me online normally, or recommendations, or a friend of a friend. Just, you know, I always say to them, look, just take a picture of what you've got at the moment.
Yeah.
Send me that by email, info@overall.co.uk. Just send me that. And then I can see exactly what you've got. Leave your phone number. I ring them. I say, yeah, I can see you've got, I don't know, 9 meters, 6.5 meters. You know, most of my work's about £300 a meter. I take a picture of what they've got, draw it in, send it back. There's a real wow factor to it. Nothing's a problem, basically. I'm very hands-on. And then they can see what they're more or less going to get. I go down there, make a sample, and 6 weeks later, job done. So that's normally how it works, unless it's, you know, more flights or more complications, you know.
Yeah. I mean, are you finding because of COVID that people are spending more time in their homes and perhaps looking at their home and thinking, right, we've been here for a year working from home. We want the garden done. We want the house done. And are you finding a sort of a pattern of that with COVID?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, obviously the last 2 years, people haven't been able to get away.
Yeah.
So I think people are just looking at their... It's made me so busy,
isn't it?
Luckily, because I think people are just looking at their situation at home and thinking, well, you know, it's quite cost-effective to put a new staircase in, put a downstairs bathroom in, put a new kitchen in, you know, whatever. At the moment, people seem to have, you know, a little bit to spend on home improvements. So, yeah.
And do you do anything lucky for us? Do you do anything gardening, like, you know, sculptures or?
Yeah, I do have a few sculptures.
You're
online.
Quite arty. I'm getting this arty vibe off you.
Yes, this is what I like to do. I like people to try and explain what they're thinking of, and then we bounce off with ideas. And it's sketching is very useful for people because they have an idea, but they can't think just how we can do this. But again, I'm so visual. I just need a picture of whatever plans people are thinking about. I kind of need to see a picture of it. And then straight away, out comes the pen, you know, and we just exchange emails. And before we know it, we've agreed on a design and small deposits paid. I get on with it. Yeah,
I love that, and I'm like you. I'm a very visual person, and it certainly helps. So, business is listening, because Business Bunker is all about small, medium enterprises, and we've got a big network. If they were thinking of relocating, any advice for someone wanted to go to somewhere a bit more spacious and a bit quieter, peaceful countryside like Rutland?
It amazes me how many people live around London and seem to spend an awful lot on their houses and have an awful lot of hassle, as I see it, you know. And, you know, you can live in Rutland or even Stamford. Well, a lot of Londoners have moved to Stamford. It's such a
beautiful town.
A beautiful town. There's no other word for it.
Yeah.
And not too far from London, probably an hour and 15 minutes from, say, Potter's Bar. You know, it's not too far away. So much to offer. So yeah, come and live in Rutland.
Do it.
Not too many.
Steve will put in your wrought iron staircase.
Exactly.
For you.
Yeah.
And just to finish off, you have worked in Kent, I believe.
Is Alpington Kent?
It is indeed.
Yes.
We have a lot of listeners.
Yes, I've just done a fairly big commission in Alpington. I'm waiting to get pictures back from it. Because how it normally works is all the work I do, it's in a build project, so people are in a bit of a mess. So I never get to see the end pictures until the client has finished their home, and then they send me pictures. It's always the same. So I tend to leave the site with my, you know, super commission all fitted, but the backdrop of it's messy because the client hasn't finished their home. So I'm still waiting to get pictures back from the last time I was in London, which was the Orpington job, which wasn't long ago. So that'll look tremendous. In fact, I'll probably contact them this afternoon and get it on my website.
I'm glad.
Well worth looking at.
I'm glad that you've been to sunny Kent, and well, it's great. I'm enjoying someone singing in the background. Is that Judy?
Oh, yes.
Put her on the stage.
A bit near the radio.
Well, from me and Paul Andrews of the Business Bunker, it's been really good to catch up with you, and I will be meeting you in that pub again, I'm very sure, with my lovely new husband, Gavin. But for now, from Steve Park of Overwrought Bespoke Metal Staircases, and it seems other things he does as well, not just staircases. Give them a look on the website, overwrought.co.uk. As I said, find them on Instagram, overwrought_limited, and on Facebook. And from me and Steve, it's a warm goodbye for now.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was Jules Sirkin in conversation with Steve Park, Overwrought staircase manufacturer.
I do love meeting a man in a pub, as you know. But I loved the fact...
Random men in pubs.
Random men in
Natasha,
pubs.
Natasha, random men in pubs in obscure parts of the country. This was in Rutland.
As you do. But I do love an artisan. You know, often when I choose...
A what?
An artisan.
Oh, an artisan, right.
What did you think I said?
No, I don't know.
Often when I choose a guest, as you know, I go for the old, the arty type. But I love the fact that he made this decision. He was doing a lot of, you know, posh houses in North London and stuff. Mm. And he sort of looked at the time it was taking him. Mm. And he moved to Rutland about 4 or 5 years ago. And as you heard in the interview, I said, any advice for businesses that are wanting to relocate? Because down here we are getting busier and busier with, you know, traffic jams and stuff. And he said, you know, where his warehouse or his factory, he's got sheep at the bottom and, you know, he's got lots of other businesses that are all in those hangars and warehouses and things. And the pace of life is fabulous. But he's making money, earning a living and designing fire escapes, garden... what do you call it? Wrought iron garden things.
Yeah.
What they call sculptures, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Furniture. Garden furniture.
Yeah. And these sweeping staircases. And the lead, he said he'd been so busy, like most of these people from COVID, and people looking at their homes and deciding, but I quite fancy a sweeping staircase.
Do you?
My staircase is a bit tired. It's sort of 80s and it's wooden. And it's all right, but it's a bit tired.
Yeah, the dog was struggling up it the other day, I saw.
We had to teach her.
Yeah.
We had to stand on, yeah, she never obviously seen a staircase. So funny old thing. But she's bowling up now.
Is she?
Yeah, with lanky legs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right, we've still got loads of tweets coming in.
Yeah.
And a tweet from the lovely folks at DG East. And they say, how about a shout out for a business dealing with supply shortages of vehicles and fuel, accompanied with 115% increase in our annual FCA charges and a totally clueless government. I think he's not happy.
No.
Yeah. I don't blame him. So do give him a follow on the Twitter at least. DG East number one is their Twitter handle.
So he's still short of, because you know my Mercedes, I've still got that.
You've still got your AdBlue problem, have
and
you?
And they said that they hadn't got the parts, but we've been nagging them, saying that this is my last journey that I can possibly do, and it conks out, and we're going in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. So we asked for a courtesy car, or I did, so I can get home. And they said, we can't get fuel, so we can't get you a courtesy car. So I've left the new husband the task of nagging them today, because they must be able to get fuel now. What's the fuel? Is it still bad?
Both the garages near me, John Page Trailers on the Bindon Road, and Total Garage at St Michael's, have got fuel.
Yeah.
And also CB Fry at the other end of Tenterton hasn't had fuel. They were doing really well. CB Fry's garage at the end of Tenterton were great because they were one of the first to institute having a limited amount for each customer.
Yeah, £35, is it?
It was £30, and that was all. And they wouldn't let you fill canisters, and you know.
Well, I hope not.
There was some bloke in there giving them grief when I was getting petrol, and he went, "Oh, I need it for my lawnmower," and she just said, "Buy an electric lawnmower."
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, £35 doesn't get you very far if you've got a
no. But the whole point is, we never top our tanks up in the way that you're doing in a panic, yeah? You always know that you put £30 in, and in a couple of days' time, you put another £30 in, yeah? That's how people top their tanks up. The problem that we faced is that everybody wanted to fill their tank every 10 minutes for no particular reason, other than the fact that they thought they wouldn't be able to buy some next week. But it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, with me, I hate putting petrol in the car. It's just one of those things.
Especially yours, because it's a diesel.
It's a diesel. But, it's just causing all the AdBlue problems. But I always fill the tank right up, you know, pre this problem, and go as little as I can possibly, because I just hate it. I hate my fingers smelling of petrol diesel.
I did see the AAA or the RAC or someone produced a report that said during the petrol panic, they had a massive increase in the amount of people putting the wrong fuel in cars.
Really? What? Yeah. So what? Because they weren't thinking?
They weren't. You know, they would dive in, pull up in front of a pump that's empty, grab the pump, put it in the car, and then realise they've just put diesel in a petrol car, which isn't that bad. It's not as bad as putting petrol in a diesel car.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's also the amount of prangs that have happened in petrol stations. People reversing to try and get out, people impatient to leave.
Mm.
It's this whole,
I saw one petrol station that was so jammed up that the petrol tanker that was queuing to fill it up was stuck in the jam and couldn't get in the petrol station to fill the tanks up. Ridiculous situation.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I've noticed a lot more freight on the road since COVID, you know, 2 years. Lots of freight.
Although saying that, I had this funny thing on the way in here today. Mm. There was just no traffic on the road, and I'm thinking, have I missed you? Is it Sunday or something? It was empty. It was absolutely empty.
Yeah, my run through today was quite quiet. It's not half term yet, is it?
No, it's next week.
Okay. They've maybe just gone back, haven't they? Like my neighbour, she's been going mad, and my lovely cleaner has been going mad because her school clubs are like £20 each, got three children. So, you know, she might as well just loll around at home and not work, really. But she said they've just gone back. She's just recovered, you know, after summer holidays, and now they've got another holiday. And she's got three children. They're off at different schools. They're off at different times. One's got 2 weeks and one's got one.
Yeah, apparently,
they have a week for Halloween now or something. Well, when did that start?
Yeah.
I'm so old.
I had a tweet from Sam Kelly, the tweeting goddess over there in Dublin.
No, to be sure now.
I beg your pardon?
To be sure now. What's she saying?
She's not saying that. she says, hi, Paul. Hi, Jules. Our Women Inspire Ireland conference is taking place tomorrow. If we can have a shout out. Of course you can. That's Win21 Global. Let me see if I can get you some details of that. It's taking place tomorrow.
Bear
with me. My phone's just loading it.
While you're doing that, Tracy Ferguson has said, enjoy the interview with Steve. I think wrought iron work is so beautiful. Mm. Even gates, she says. And one of my friends has a tiny 17th century house and she has a wrought iron staircase designed to save space.
Absolutely. So coming back to the tweeting goddess, the lovely Sam Kelly, the best thing to do is follow her Twitter handle, Women's Inspire, i.e., is the Twitter handle, Women's Inspire, i.e. Give it a follow. They've got a huge women's business conference taking place tomorrow, manana.
Good, thank you for that. We've had quite a lot of Twitters. I'm just going to catch up.
I'm getting messages from people telling me that the garages that I just mentioned have been putting their prices up quite a lot because
really?
They've got fuel. Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, the funny thing...
That makes me cross.
One of the things I did at the very start of the panic, when it first hit, unusually for me, my petrol tank was completely empty. I'd been on the red light for ages and I hadn't bothered about it. I thought, I must go and fill it up sometime.
You were a bit like Roxanne.
Well, normally, without the pandemic and everything, I get through about 50 quid worth of fuel a week. So normally on a Saturday, I put 50 quid in and it will last me for a week.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was down to fumes and I was driving around looking and I came across a garage that said, they had a big sign that said no fuel. Okay, so there was no one in the garage. But I noticed that one of the pumps didn't have a thing on it. Yeah, because all the pumps had the thing that locks it, that says it's empty.
And that awful yellow...
Yeah, the big yellow and black thing.
Yeah.
But there was a pump at the end that didn't have it, yeah? So I thought, well, I'll drive in and have a look. I've got nothing to lose. I'll drive in, drive out. And it was premium fuel, and they had fuel. So I put it in my car. But it was £1.60 a gallon.
That's crazy.
It was extortionate.
That's crazy.
But then the funny thing was, all these people driving past noticed me in there filling up. They all come piling in there. A woman came behind me. I went, there's only premium. And she's gone, oh, £1.60? I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
I'll walk.
Yeah. But I do think the roads are quieter. I mean, we rely a lot on Russia, don't we, for our fuel, for our gas, don't we?
For gas. Yeah, well, you don't put gas in your car,
no,
do you?
No, I know, but...
And we don't rely on Russia, no.
Don't we?
No. That's Germany and France you're thinking of.
I saw the other day, you know, I think I mentioned it on Bunker, we saw a tanker coming past our house from Nigeria, our friends in Nigeria.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they would have been going to... What's the little island industrial opposite Sheppey? Is that who?
Isle of Grain.
Isle of Grain.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been dumping it there or offloading it there.
Isle of Grain terminal there, yeah.
Not grains, but fuel.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, what you got?
Well, I'm just buzzing through. lots of stuff. Hang on, there's just too much going on. How about a shout-out? Have you read this? How about a shout-out for Serene and Natasha of Christmas in Tenterton from Tenterton Chamber? It's local business, they say. So, yes, we will be shouting out about them, won't we? I mean, that's an order, isn't it? That's not even a request.
go on, read another one. I'm scrolling at the moment.
Yeah, okay. Happy scrolling. So the Amazon, who, of course, whether we like them or not, they're very, very useful. They've decided to create hundreds of jobs in Kent across Dartford, Rochester and the Aylesford sites. And they're looking to hire hundreds of seasonal workers in Kent as part of a massive recruitment drive centred around its huge new £205 million warehouse. The online retailer Today announced it is hiring 20,000 temporary positions across its UK network of fulfilment centres, sortation centres and delivery stations during the festive season. This will include 750 new roles in Kent to be made available at its new fulfilment centre near the Dartford Crossing. The sort centre in Rochester is in Rochester and the delivery stations in Dartford and Aylesford. It's 205 million mega box warehouse, which the retailer refers to as a fulfillment centre because the entire packaging process is fulfilled from start to finish, is based on the site of the decommissioned Littlebrook power station next to the River Thames. So love them or loathe them, they are here to stay and they're growing. But do remember to support your little news agents, your local shops, your butchers, your bread maker, your baker, your who else, your hardware store. Fantastic. Used to have three hardware stores in Whitstable, Paul Andrews. Now we have to go to B&Q because they've all gone.
Yeah.
And you go to B&Q and you never find anyone. You can't, all those bulbs, rows of bulbs. I don't know what bulb to buy. You look for a man to help you. Can't find one, can you? And all those screws and nuts and all that, look, I never know.
Bayonets. Yeah. Right, I want to catch up with these before we join the newsroom. Tracy Ferguson has been very diligent and answered the question you asked her half an hour ago.
She?
Yeah. When we were talking about Dickens' World.
Oh, yeah. No.
She says, I think you're right, Paul. See, that's why I'm reading this. Read Dickens' World. It's great news as nearly all of the restaurants in that little area of Dockside have now closed except for the national recognised ones, which was KFC and things like that. And she says, hopefully it will bring more business there. I happen to know, Tracy, that apart from the ones we read out, there are some other businesses scheduled to open there as well.
And, you know, Tracy's she's a gal that likes an indie calf, and yeah. she often used to go to one by the gin distillery.
Oh, the Rivet.
Is that Anno? Or?
No, Rivet.
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 Copper Rivet.
What's it called?
Copper Rivet.
Copper Rivet. That's it. Thank you, Sarah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And she says, agreeing with us, that it's so important to support our independent retailers.
Hey, what about this? I had a tweet from Casey K9.
Oh, what's she saying?
How about a shout out for Darcy? Looking forward to our first date.
Yeah, well, when she will actually venture out of the house, we can meet. But at the moment, we can't get her past the front door.
Tracy says, I enjoyed the interview with Steve. I thought raw ironwork is so beautiful, even gates. One of my friends has a tiny 17th century house, and she had a wrought iron staircase designed to save space. Absolutely.
I did just read that,
I never listened to you.
Yeah, you said it so much more beautifully.
Catherine from Booker White Bookkeeping says, happy Tuesday to the Bunker crew.
Yeah, and we heard from Chips and Dinks earlier. I've lost that, but they were popping up. And
I did read it.
Oh, good.
You weren't listening, were you?
You are diligent. Ha, ha, ha. 27% of all UK businesses formed during the pandemic were female-founded, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
There was a clear disparity between the number of businesses founded.
Let me guess what it was.
Go on, then.
Well,
did you write this?
Yeah. No. Well, you say 27% were founded by women.
Yeah.
Well, unless the rest were founded by Martians, dogs, greyhounds or anything else, I'm saying the disparity is the rest were founded by men.
Yes, it was 72.33% of businesses being founded by men, and just, this is before, and just 27.67% being founded by women.
Mm.
And that, Paul Andrews, equates to 316,330 male businesses and 141,204 female businesses founded during this pandemic.
That's good.
So it's good. So you're spot on, really, aren't
you? Yeah, no, it's good. And obviously, we like to see more female entrepreneurs, but anyone starting a business gets our support. And the more businesses we can start, the better we'll be.
I note that the government are talking about giving some help to a lot of businesses that need power and actually, you know, like construction, they were talking about.
Yeah.
That would just be a loan, wouldn't it?
So hold on. The government have caused the problem, and now they're going to give us some of our own money back to sort the problem out that they caused.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Yeah. And people do my head in going, we need more government. We really don't. We actually really don't.
You mean we need more government help?
No, we don't need anything. No. We need them to stop making a mess in the first place.
I think Boris should just stay in Marbella or wherever he is, frankly.
I think all of them should go. Yeah. Every last one of them should all go and join Boris in Marbella and stay there.
I was listening to... What's the critic that...
Anyway, we've got to go and join the newsroom. So
it's just on a roll, then.
We'll be back after that.
What's happening?
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.